This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Colostrum LD from Sovereign Laboratories. Colostrum LD is clinically proven to maintain optimal immune function, eliminate harmful pathogens, and fight infection, as well as cleanse and prevent the absorption of toxins. Adding Colostrum LD daily to your diet provides the essential nutrition needed to maintain optimal health. To order, just go to SovereignLaboratories.com. That's SovereignLaboratories.com. If you're a first-time customer, you can get a full 5-day supply for free. Just go to SovereignLaboratories.com for Colostrum LD. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here we are once again. It's Q&A with Layla, Part 2, and questions come to radioprogram@AOL.com. Another way you can get questions to us is you can record your questions, and we'll use your questions for our on-air weekly radio program. Mm-hmm. Go to drhoffman.com, and on your PC or Mac, it's not yet mobile-enabled, but you need to use a fixed computer for this. On the right side of the homepage,
you need a Dr. Hoffman app.
Okay, we can do that. Yeah. Send your contributions. We'll do GoFundMe.
need a Dr. Hoffman app.
No, we need a GoFundMe for a Dr.
GoFundMe,
Hoffman app.
GoFundMe, yeah, right.
But, you know, so anyway, so you, on the right side of the page is going to be a rectangle, and you click on it, and you can record a question, and we'll put that on the air. You can call us live during the show. What's your next question?
We have a question from Suzanne. Are there any supplements that I could take or diet that I should follow to help slow the symptoms of Parkinson's disease?
Okay.
Consult.
Yeah. Well, you know, in general, you know, one of the nutrients that I'm most, you know, I keep talking about this, but I think the results of some initial research on this are quite spectacular. Nicotinamide riboside.
Yeah.
It's, I think, a really neuroprotective nutrient. But the idea here is we really want neuroprotection for Parkinson's. So we want to work on the mitochondria. It is, to some extent, a mitochondrial disorder and a part of the brain that's really working hard to pump out dopamine, substantia nigra. And so...
And what's in the mitochondria? Lots and lots of CoQ10.
CoQ10,
properly working
NAD. So, you know, nicotinamide riboside, very high dose ubiquinol.
Yeah.
Because it's the preferred source, more bioavailable
ubiquinol
source.
Ubiquinol and CoQ10.
Can do it's both. Actually, my highest dose ubiquinol is for patients with Parkinson's. We use 400 milligrams, sometimes four a day.
Yeah.
Can get a little pricey. We might throw in some ubiquinol to amp up the effect. You know, the more the better, because I think one of the reasons that clinical trials have been a little equivocal on CoQ10 is because they use doses that are a little too low. So,
which is the problem with nutritional science. They're not using a therapeutic dose.
But also, it's, you know, really, you know, we have to make it feasible for people. And, you know, if the proper dose, you know, for treatment of Parkinson's disease is going to cost you, you know, $2,500 a year, that puts it out of the reach of the ordinary mortal, since this is not reimbursed by, you know, the... I was going to say the National Health Service. Do we have the National Health Service yet in America? We don't have that yet.
Not yet.
No, but we're
going. Boy.
Yeah, after 2020, we might. You know, okay. Okay. Wait in line. You're next.
Yeah.
You know,
Parkinson's.
You'll get that kidney in 5 years.
Is more and more prevalent. It has probably more to do with the toxins in our environment. You know, and it's not necessarily people who live in the cities or urban areas that are getting Parkinson's. They live downwind of the farm.
Or they live, they retire to the ideal retirement community on the golf course. And the grass is so magnificently green every day. And there's no bugs. Amazing.
Yeah.
Why? Because the place is doused in chemicals.
Exactly.
Yeah, so.
Exactly. And that affects, you know, what it does to the insect, it attacks their neurological system. It's doing the same to us. You have to consider that. Add to that the insult of glyphosate or Roundup if you're manicuring your lawn like that. This is just more and more toxic load. So it's not just urban areas and the pollution. Yeah, there's plenty here. But also there's enough of it and different kinds in suburban areas and the country, depending on where you live. You know. So
right. So
you want to be able to detox well.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure you're detoxing well. I have heard cases, anecdotal, at medical conferences like IHS, Integrative Healthcare Symposium, mm-hmm. of a detox regimen which helped them to reduce the symptoms, and that if some patients were able to do this whenever their symptoms were progressing, that if they did a particular enhanced detoxification, we're talking under supervision mm-hmm. here. We're not talking about going to your local CVS and getting your mm-hmm. thing that's got Senna in it. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a medically supervised detox with doctors who know and naturopaths who know mm-hmm. how to do this. And they often get a good result, or kind of keep it at arm's length for many people. But it's also interesting that I've heard anecdotes of people who live near a farm, you know, in a rural area, and the spray went by, you know, the plane and with the herbicides and insecticides, and lo and behold, a couple weeks later, the person is coming down with symptoms.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
another connection that's mm-hmm. or nutritional connection that's interesting with Parkinson's is that it's been observed that people with Parkinson's disease generally have low uric acid, which is the opposite of gout.
Mm.
And conversely, people with gout infrequently have Parkinson's disease. So they've hit upon a strategy to raise uric acid, not to the point where you develop gout, obviously, but if
uh-huh.
you start with a low uric acid, say your uric acid is 1.7 or 2.5, and really the threshold for developing gout is like, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, to give a precursor to uric acid, which is it's an available supplement. It's called inosine, I-N-O-S-I-N-E.
Uh-huh.
And it's a popular new strategy that's being evaluated for treatment of Parkinson's. And it's nutritional.
Wow.
It's something you can get in a health food store.
That's fascinating.
Yep. It's a connection. I'll send you a link on that.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's actually the Parkinson's Foundation says, what's hot in PD? Should I take inosine to raise my uric acid? That's the Parkinson's Foundation. So at least they're investigating it. I don't think they're necessarily endorsing it, but they're saying that this may be, it's not a magical breakthrough.
So what's been found is there's an association.
Yeah.
And people with higher amounts of uric acid have less.
Yeah, and why uric acid is actually a beneficial thing. It's an antioxidant.
Huh.
And I've also noticed that many patients with MS have very low uric acid. So, you know.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, so that there may be some benefit to having moderate uric acid.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of dietary strategies, is there something about when you take the medication in relationship to protein? There was a
right,
whole thing around
the L-DOPA,
yeah.
the levodopa, all of that. You want to make sure that you're not necessarily having a big protein meal when you're taking those kind of medications. You want at least 3 hours mm-hmm. in between, because the levodopa, mm-hmm. the L-DOPAs will
right.
compete with the protein in your food. You want the drug to be able to do its
and
job.
And the most radical dietary therapy, and I've actually heard it quite promoted, is a ketogenic diet for Parkinson's. And
yes.
you've been looking at some of the stories on that? Much as, you know, the notion of an Alzheimer's ketogenic diet,
mm-hmm.
you know, using fat as the main calorie source.
Yeah, 70-80% fat. Yeah.
Right. So what's your take on that?
Is it
feasible? Is it?
I think it's absolutely feasible. When you have something like Parkinson's, which mm-hmm. can be quite progressive, you want to be able to try something like that to see if you could at least slow its progression.
Mm-hmm. And the theory again is that the energy that you get mm-hmm. is more. What? It's more. There's better uptake.
More or less, yes, because when you're on a ketogenic diet, your mitochondria get bigger. They mm-hmm. not only get bigger, your body produces more mitochondria. These chronic diseases like Parkinson's and all, these are chronic mitochondrial defects
mm-hmm.
or, even in our day of age, in our day and age of too much carbohydrate metabolism, you want to be able to go a little more ketogenic to grow your mitochondria.
Mm-hmm.
You want your mitochondria more powerful. These are the powerhouses of all of the cells in your body. And It's about taking care of the mitochondria.
Another strategy I use with some patients, males especially, is testosterone. Because testosterone somehow strengthens and energizes. And, you know, it when you have low levels of dopamine, you get demotivated.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of you lose your mojo. And one thing that raises dopamine that's associated with reward is testosterone. So actually some studies have explored the benefits of testosterone for especially men with Parkinson's. And I have some of our men with Parkinson's taking testosterone and with some benefit. So what's the name of this questioner?
This is Suzanne.
Suzanne, that'll be $800, please.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for your question.
And apropos of financial support, it's time to allow one of our sponsors to share this important message with you. So please support our sponsors, all of them, because they're what make Intelligent Medicine a free resource to you. Here goes. Listen up. Did you know the benefits of nature's most powerful superfood are universal and always available no matter what your age? This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a nutritional supplement I recommend and use that's clinically proven to maintain optimal immune function, eliminate harmful pathogens and fight infection, and cleanse and prevent the absorption of toxins. It's colostrum LD from Sovereign Laboratories. Adding colostrum LD daily to your diet provides the essential nutrition needed to maintain optimal health. With Sovereign's proprietary enhanced delivery system, colostrum LD is the most effective colostrum available. Colostrum LD has wide-ranging health benefits at every stage of life. To order, just go to sovereignlaboratories.com. That's sovereignlaboratories.com. If you're a first-time customer, you can get a full 5-day supply for free. Just go to sovereignlaboratories.com for colostrum LD. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. And now, back to our questions. What's next, Layla?
We have a question from Joyce. My husband has a coronary calcium score of 426.
Okay.
Is there any nutritional way to reduce it? He's thin, and he runs and works out almost every day.
How old is this person?
He's 69.
Okay.
And his diet has improved over the last 6 months.
Okay.
I want to know what he was eating prior.
So there's this interesting thing you can do, and you can do this on your own. There's this thing called a MESA calculator, and it's like table in Spanish, M-E-S-A, and it stands for, it's an acronym for some study that was done about the relationship between coronary calcification and the risk of a heart event. And it's kind of like the algorithm that you use for bone density. You know, you plug in your bone density, and it shows you what risk you have for a fracture. Well, this, you plug in your calcium score, your age, your cholesterol, your race, your sex, some basic information, and it will tell you how much risk you have for cardiovascular disease. So I'd say that that person, offhand, I'm going to say that person about a 10% risk for cardiovascular disease, maybe, you know, a little more, in the next 10 years, which isn't bad because it means, also means they have about a 90% risk of not having cardiovascular risk in the next 10 years. But, you know, who wants a 10% risk of cardiovascular disease?
Sure.
You know, it's like...
when you'd rather have zero.
Zero risk, yeah. So, you know, there's risk there. So what do? You know, we want a preventive program. Well, some people opt to go on statins when they have that.
Yes.
I think the evidence is kind of sketchy for asymptomatic individuals without a demonstration of real blockage, because the mere presence of calcium doesn't mean blockage. It means the beginnings of atherosclerotic disease.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do a very individualized consult for people, and I spend a lot of time going over the pros and cons of going on statins. So I don't want to do that here for this person because I don't know all the facts and I don't know how they feel about it. But with or without statins, things that are helpful, resveratrol, MK7, chiolic aged garlic extract, but you need to take 2400.
Yes.
So 600 milligram pills.
And can we let everybody know about vitamin K? The now the optimal dose is has gone from 180 micrograms to about 320 micrograms
right.
a day. So that would be
which
optimal.
Our MK7 on full script is it's 160.
Yes.
So then you
yes.
take two.
Right.
Conveniently. So actually studies by Dr. Schurgers in Netherlands have shown the potential for regression or slowing down of coronary calcification with the vitamin K. So between the kaolic and the vitamin K and the fish oil and
resveratrol
and olive leaf extract, which has hydroxytyrosol, you know, all these protective nutrients are, you know, and there are many others that have a beneficial effect on cardiovascular disease progression. Of course, then we look for risk factors. We say, why? You know, we ask the question, first of all, well, why are you, do you have a calcification score that's that high? What are your risk factors? Do you have a strong family history? Have you smoked? Are you sedentary? Is your diet bad?
Do you have high blood pressure?
Is your cholesterol high? Is your HDL low? Is your,
LDL,
is it large particles, small particle? Are you APO?
Is it oxidized?
Do you have type A or type B
patterns
of LDL?
Of LDL,
Do you have high levels of APOB, APOA?
Yeah, do you have high lipoprotein little a?
Is homocysteine a factor? Is C-reactive protein a factor? Is LP little a, as you said, is that a factor? You know, all those things are part of the equation. And then we can, you know, target these things for intervention because the risk doesn't come out of nowhere. You know, it's some, there's going to be some discernible loophole which is responsible for that calcium deposition.
What are your blood sugars? Is there high blood sugar? Is there high insulin? All of that.
And insulin, big time. Absolutely. You know, what's your, you know, waist-to-hip ratio and so on and so on. Body composition. All those figure in, obviously. So there you go.
Okay.
We have time for another question.
Joyce, thank you and best of luck.
And you're hearing the authentic sounds of New York outside. You know, it's usually pretty quiet here. We're close to Central Park, so sometimes you hear the clop,
I heard
clop,
that
clop.
Earlier. I don't know if it picked up on our microphones, but I love that sound.
The carriages.
The handsome cabs.
Our mayor, in his infinite wisdom, he was gonna ban the carriages. Felt sorry for the horses.
He has no right.
That's right.
Sorry.
It's like,
I love
it's
those
part of
horses.
New York tradition and culture. And
absolutely.
I got to say, I look at the horses on the street, and they don't look that unhappy. They look, you know, they look like really well-groomed. And they're, you know, have a bucket of oats and plenty of water. And, you know, they basically saying, you know, put me to work. It's like, you know, they're not unemployed.
Right.
You know what happens? Unemployed horses, they, you know.
Exactly. You know, all right. We have a question from Charlie. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, my active 80-year-old father went to his doctor complaining of joint stiffness upon awakening. The doctor ordered a DEXA scan which produced strange results. Hips, negative 3.6.
I see what's coming.
Spine, positive 1.2.
Right.
The doctor said the unusual spine reading was indicative of arthritis, and he prescribed...
The doctor is correct.
Let me describe
what's going on. I saw this in a patient just today. He'd had a fracture, and so they did a bone density on him. And he had a spinal bone density that was phenomenal. It was like
four.
Times
You
know, the normal. And so I didn't say, I said, that's good, but, you know, it probably means you have a fair amount of arthritis in the spine.
That's interesting.
And what that appears, that makes its proliferation of the bone with bone spurs and stuff, so it shows up brighter. So that's kind of an artificial, that's an artifact of arthritis. Now, the thing to pay attention to is the hip, because the hip does show some deficit. It's below zero. So what
negative
is it?
3.6.
Well, negative 3.6 is
that's significant
action point.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll, at that point, I may assent to patient taking medication. Although I really am very reluctant to put patients on medication. I will tell you that we saw this patient, we saw a patient together today.
Yes.
Who actually, he's such a a dedicated follower of natural medicine that I told him that he had a minus 4.2 in his spine, very high risk for fracture. And I said, you know, I really think you need to take medication. And he refused.
Okay.
So I documented the refusal in a chart.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, but I'm warning you, if you do not improve dramatically in, you know, the next time we do this, I got to put you on medication. I'm going to hit you over the head. We're going to put you on medication because I don't want you to have a terrible debilitating fracture. So he faithfully followed the regimen, which consists of strontium and Ostera. And I don't even think he could take the calcium because the calcium constipated him. Mm-hmm. Vitamin K and vitamin D. And lo and behold, he had, where it counts, in his spine, a 6% improvement. So he's still in the danger zone. He's minus 3.6 now. That's the danger zone.
Yeah.
That's where this other patient started.
Yes.
So he's like already improved to the point where this patient's starting. And in the hip, it's already minus 2.4, which is crossing the border towards osteopenia.
Yes.
So he improved in both respects. So I said, at this rate, I'm going to ease up on my insistence you take medication because you're making progress. Faithfully take the thing. He was very happy to do that. I said, we'll do this in a year or so and hopefully document further improvement, which we will see.
Yeah.
And he hopefully will move more into the low threes or high twos, and then maybe the next time into the osteopenic range, because it works. It really works what we're doing.
Yeah, it is. And you know, I could sense his gratitude.
Yeah.
By the time after you saw him and he came in to see me, he was just absolutely on the edge of his seat, ready, willing, and able to.
Yeah.
What's next? What do I do from here? How do I do it? What else should I take?
Weight-bearing all exercise, you know, he's going to undertake and, you know, all that stuff. So.
Yeah.
You know,
I was going to tell him to switch hands with his briefcase from time to time.
Gave him a little DHEA too, which is an weak androgen, but it also helps bone density.
Mm-hmm.
And men tolerate more than women without, you know, acne or hirsutism issues. Mm-hmm. So,
So last question Charlie asks is, could arthritis skew the test and hide the osteoporosis?
Oh,
apparently not, because it showed the osteoporosis in his hip.
You know, there's different types of bone in the hip and the spine, and we sometimes see a disconnect. We see sometimes people with terrible bone loss in the spine,
yeah,
and the hip's pretty good.
Yeah.
And sometimes we see this pattern where it's the
where
spine
it's the
is much, you know, is above normal or you're very dense, and then the spine is the vulnerable part. But, you know, you treat the vulnerable part. And by the way, when you treat the vulnerable part, both parts will benefit.
Yeah.
You know, because the drugs sometimes preferentially affect one place more than the other, but usually there's a beneficial effect. If it works in one place, it's going to work in both places to strengthen bone. So,
Charlie, thank you for your question.
Yeah, and you know, another thing I want to throw in is let's mention olive leaf extract for bone, because there are actually some new research on the polyphenols in olive. That we also add that to. I didn't think I added to this guy's program, but if you want, as an afterthought, you can add, you know, put it on his full script and he'll be happy to take it if he's not taking it already.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that might augment the benefits he's getting.
Yeah.
And he's not even, by the way, he's not even taking Ostanol, which some of our patients take. It's rather expensive.
Yeah.
But, you know, if he did not show sufficient progress today and he still wanted to, avoid medications, I might have said, well,
you would have added the
I would have said, yeah, I mean, you gotta,
we gotta know, go further.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So that's all the time that we have for today, but great questions. Keep them coming. I'm very happy that even amidst the summer doldrums, y'all are on your toes and you're sending us great questions to stimulate interesting conversation. I hope you find this useful. And it's been an enjoyable hour. Thanks, Layla, for your contribution.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Hoffman.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.